The heaviest rain is over, but many of us are still dealing with rain through the lunch hour. I'll let you know when the rain finally clears out coming up.
A 19-year-old student who prompted a code red lockdown at this high school is due in court this afternoon. The school district spokesman explains the implications behind that action.
Also, how sweet it is. Three teams from the Triangle in the Sweet 16 looking to advance to the Elite Eight. We'll have a preview of the big games.
After a soaking start to our day, the dual Doppler 5000 radar remains active in our eastern counties during this lunch hour. The heaviest rain has moved out, but showers still linger. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRL Severe Weather Center with a look at when the rain should clear and which areas saw the most rain. Kat.
And I just got some brand new information in moments ago. I actually got it on my watch standing over here. The flood watch has been canceled for the rest of the area. That just came in on the WRL weather app. If you have it downloaded, then of course you know that. So we're seeing improvements, but the rain is lingering and there's certainly still some ponding on the roads. But look to our west, closer to the mountains, the clouds are already clearing. They're going to be clearing in the triad here pretty soon. So we've got better weather coming, but this low pressure system is still going to be moving to the northeast. So our eastern counties are going to be slower to clear out this afternoon. The dual Doppler 5000 radar still shows a few light showers that are going to be headed into the triangle over the next hour. We've got some white rain lingering around Fayetteville and some steady rain in Johnston County as well as Nash County and up into Northampton counties. 1 o'clock, we still have light rain lingering, but all of the heavier or more steady rain should be to our east by 1 o'clock, and I think we'll be dry in the triangle by 2 o'clock, and just a few sprinkles left for the kids heading home on the bus in our eastern counties. But by 5 o'clock, big improvements expected for the evening commute. I'm really not expecting any slowdowns out there for the evening commute. We did see a lot of rain though. These are the airport rainfall totals across our area. Over 2 inches in Durham, over 1.5 inches in Raleigh, and over 2 inches in Southern Pines, just under 1 inch in Fayetteville. Of course, the numbers still going up in our eastern counties at this hour. And as I mentioned, the flood watch has been trimmed back, and just Northampton County in our viewing area remains in it at this hour. I'll have a closer look at your weekend forecast and the big changes on the way coming up.
All right, Kat, here at 12:01, I'm watching traffic. Thankfully, the roads are drying out nicely around the triangle. I do have a crash, though, in the southern part of Franklin County you need to know about on Tant Road. It is closed right now, right around Pine Ridge Road, and the DOT estimates it's going to be closed for quite a while. We're working to get some more details about that crash. Again, as we take a live look at I-40 in South Raleigh out at Gorman Street, the roads are drying out nicely. Same situation in Durham, Chapel Hill, and in Fayetteville. Going to head out to Halifax County for a live look at 95 at 903 just south of Weldon. Still seeing some rain out there, so expect some wet roads, especially in our eastern counties, through the rest of the afternoon.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we have several updates on the Baltimore Bridge collapse. These updates keep coming out minute by minute, but this is what we know right now. The brother of one of those presumed dead said that the families have been prepared on what to expect next. They say they have been told that they are not expecting to recover any more bodies, but authorities told the families they have not given up, but they are not sure when that process can begin again because debris has to be removed from the water before more bodies can be recovered. But at this point, family members have accepted that more victims will not be found alive. Also, dozens of vessels from as far away as Asia are still scheduled to arrive at the port of Baltimore. 59 vessels were headed there. Almost all of them will be diverted to other East Coast ports. New York and New Jersey's governor saying the Port Authority can take on this additional cargo. Also, this afternoon, Maryland's governor saying that reconstruction of this bridge faces a long road ahead.
Michelle, thanks for that update. The student who threatened to, quote, empty a clip at his Cumberland County High School will face a judge this afternoon. The incident forced the principal at Grays Creek High to put the school in a code red lockdown. This is a picture of that 12th grade student who was arrested, 19-year-old Dwight McCoy. This happened yesterday morning at Grays Creek High in Hope Mills. We're told McCoy was being taken to the office for some sort of disciplinary reason when he became unruly and made that threat that he was going to shoot up the school. McCoy was taken into custody, but not before the school was put on lockdown. And McCoy was searched. No weapon was found. But school leaders say a code red lockdown has serious implications, gun or no gun.
And I would just say until an official message comes from the school don't believe it, because so many times inaccurate information is shared via social media, and that can cause families to be alarmed unnecessarily.
Lindsay Whitley, you heard from him there. He says that it can also lead to parents swarming to the school to pick up their children. And Dwight McCoy will make his first court appearance 2:30 this afternoon. He was processed yesterday and released on a $20,000 secured bond.
Only on WREL. Today, the state will transfer control of Nash County's child welfare services back to the county. The move comes more than 6 months after the state took over. The first state probe into Nash County's DSS began after a WREL investigation into the beating death of 8-year-old Crystal Lane. Law enforcement told WREL they recommended the girl be removed from her home to Nash DSS weeks before her murder. A second WREL investigation found another child died in Nash County's care 3 years earlier. The state took over control in August. Since then, the state says significant progress has been made with the agency. That includes the hiring of a new director, Danita DeVega.
Intense airstrikes and heavy fighting continue across much of Gaza Strip today, as the White House says Prime Minister Netanyahu's office has agreed to reschedule a visit by an Israeli delegation to Washington to discuss Israel's planned offensive in Rafah. NBC's Raf Sanchez reports from Tel Aviv.
Just days after Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu very publicly called off a visit to Washington by senior Israeli officials, a U.S. official now tells NBC News he is trying to quietly reschedule those talks. Now, those discussions were supposed to be about what are pretty major differences between the U.S. and Israel over Israeli plans to attack the city of Rafah in southern Gaza. Israel says that a major ground offensive in Rafah is necessary to destroy Hamas. The U.S. is saying it would be a disaster because there are more than a million civilians sheltering in that city. Rafah, also one of the major points of entry for food and humanitarian aid getting into the Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, the humanitarian crisis in Gaza deepening by the hour. The UN saying more than a million people, many of them in the north, are on the brink of famine right now, but the entire population of the Gaza Strip at this point is suffering from acute hunger shortages. The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, says Israel is blocking them from delivering any food at all to northern Gaza. Israel says it is prepared to allow other humanitarian organizations to go to the north, but it will not work with UNRWA, who it accuses of perpetuating the problem of Palestinian refugees and says several UNRWA employees took part in the October 7th massacre. Raf Sanchez, NBC News, Tel Aviv.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, just into the newsroom, a Robeson County murder suspect has been accused that was accused of shooting two Robeson County sheriff's deputies now faces five federal charges. Sean Locklear faces a minimum of 40 years and a maximum of life in prison if he's convicted on all crimes. This is him. Locklear shot and injured two Robeson County sheriff's deputies who were attempting to serve an arrest warrant on him. He was charged in 2022 with the murder of a man while out on bond. He cut off his ankle monitor, prompting deputies to return to a home to look for him. When they got there, the sheriff's office says that's when Locklear opened fire. His charges include drug trafficking, possession of a machine gun, and carjacking. Again, he faces a minimum of 40 years and a maximum of life in prison if convicted on all charges. Michelle, thanks. The cause of a fire at an abandoned house in Cary is under investigation. This happened last night on Davis Drive. This video was sent in by a viewer. You can see the intense flames and smoke. It took about 20 minutes for firefighters to get the fire under control. Three people are in the hospital after a crash on I-95 in Cumberland County that involved four cars. The crash happened on I-95 South in Wade near the Newton Grove exit before 11:30 last night. This video shows the backup on the interstate there. The crash started when one vehicle spun around and hit another head on. First responders tell WREL nine people were in the cars that were involved. We're working to find out how badly people were hurt.
A dog disappeared at RDU International Airport after he was supposed to be headed to Seattle on an Alaska Airlines flight. He's been reunited with his owner this morning. The airline says the dog didn't make his flight Tuesday and then got loose Wednesday morning, sending police and airport officials looking for him. WRL's Destiny Patterson is at RDU right now. Destiny, they found the pooch.
That's right, Jeff. Well, I'll tell you, the good news in all of this, RDU tells us, is that he did have a good breakfast after all of that chaos. But leading up to that, RDU officials, officers, were looking for this dog named Moose. They, in radio traffic, you can actually hear them say at one point he made it to a taxiway. The good news is that no one was hurt and it didn't disrupt any flights there. But I want to break all of this down. So Tuesday, the airline says that there was a misstep in the loading process, so Moose had to stay here overnight. I asked the airline for clarification this morning on how something like this could happen. They say that cargo needs to be loaded a certain way, but they wouldn't share specifics about how it needed to be loaded and why it didn't happen this way this time around. The next morning, the airline's team took Moose out for a walk and just before their second attempt to get him on the flight. The airline then says that Moose shook loose from his collar and ran away as they tried to put him into his crate. In Broadcastify radio traffic, you can hear officers looking for that dog in and around the airport.
Round the dog up right now between the new parking area and Terminal 2.
Ops is chasing the dog down the taxiway right now.
Now, the airline says that Moose was not forgotten. They say that they paid for the owner to come back here to RDU to be reunited with her pup. And now we're still working to learn how officers were able to find the dog, where they found the dog, in order to be reunited. Jeff?
It is quite a caper going on there. Glad nothing was disrupted. All right, Destiny Patterson live at RDU for us this noon. Thank you.
Catholics pause for prayer, reflection, and a special ceremony today as they commemorate the last days of Jesus' life on earth. The washing of the feet ceremony took place this morning in Jerusalem. This action symbolizes Jesus' teachings that leaders are servants. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre is located at the same site where Christians believe Jesus was buried and resurrected.
Coming up next at noon, an airplane was evacuated in Charlotte last night. What passengers noticed on board that made them use the emergency slides?
Also, the Olympic torch has not yet been lit, but the decision on where it will go has been decided. The historic spot where it will be located.
Plus at 12:30, the overwash that has NC-12 closed on the Outer Banks and the trouble that's causing during a busy spring break week.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, we have just learned that Sam Bankman-Fried has been sentenced to 25 years in federal prison for defrauding customers and investors in crypto exchange FTX. He stole $8 billion from customers of the now bankrupt cryptocurrency exchange that he founded. A judge handed down the sentence this afternoon after Bankman-Fried claimed that FTX customers did not actually lose money. The judge also said that Bankman-Fried lied during his trial testimony. A jury did find him guilty on November 2nd. FTX collapsed back in 2022, and prosecutors have called it one of the biggest financial frauds in U.S. history. Bankman-Fried says he does plan to appeal his conviction and sentence.
A person is hurt after a Frontier Airlines flight in Charlotte had to be evacuated last night. A strong odor was first noticed while passengers were boarding their flight to Orlando. The jet bridge and emergency slides were used to evacuate the plane. One of the 266 passengers got hurt from a fall in the process. Initial reports say there was no visible smoke or fire on the plane. The FAA says they'll investigate. A large fire destroyed this historic church in Cleveland, Ohio. Crews got there just after 7 this morning. Heavy smoke and flames were visible coming from the building. Nobody was inside, but the church suffered major damage in the fire. We still don't know what started it. This church was put on the National Registry of Historic Places back in 1974.
The Olympic flame will likely be installed in the Jardin des Tuileries after organizers abandoned the idea of the Eiffel Tower. The French sports daily newspaper L'Equipe reported last week that the garden was a big favorite to host the flame. The Tuileries garden is next to the Louvre Museum. The full details for the torch relay route will be revealed in May. Boy, that story tested my high school French. We might not know where the torches will go yet, but we know that they will travel in style. The Olympic and Paralympic torches will make their world tour in a custom-made Louis Vuitton trunk this summer. Louis Vuitton has also made trunks for the medals. WRAL is your exclusive home for the Olympics, and Liz McLaughlin will be there bringing you live coverage. Watch all the Olympic action here July 26th through August 11th.
We are just a little over 9 hours away from UNC playing Alabama with a trip to the Elite Eight on the line in the NCAA tournament. WRL's Pat Welter is in Los Angeles with the Heels, breaking down the challenge they'll face as they try to get past the Crimson Tide.
A lot of smiles from the Carolina players at their open practice. And you think a player like RJ Davis might be used to this by now after making the national championship 2 years ago. But he said no. That was the greatest feeling ever, and he's trying to get it back. Davis and the Tar Heels taking the floor inside Crypto.com Arena Wednesday to prepare to face Alabama, one of the highest scoring, highest tempo teams in the country. They know they're going to have to throw the first punch in this one. Davis embracing the challenge and the opportunity.
I dreamed of this moment. I've seen a lot of games as a kid, just watching March Madness, watching a lot of players just make history and be a part of something that's special and they'll be known forever. So it means everything to me. It means a lot because, you know, I've worked so hard and this team worked so hard just to get back to this point, and to kind of just embrace and cherish every moment that's coming with it. So it's March, so I'm enjoying it, and I'm just super happy to be back.
UNC got down 14 points early to Michigan State, and RJ Davis told me that's their next step to be great. Come out and set the tone. They get in a hole against a team like Alabama, they might not be able to climb their way out. Pat Welter, WRL Sports, Los Angeles.
And Pat Welter will cover the Tar Heels from California. Meanwhile, Chris Lee will be in Dallas with NC State and Duke. UNC takes on Alabama in L.A. tonight at 9:39. Tomorrow, NC State plays Marquette at 7:09. And then it's Duke versus Houston at 9:39 p.m. We also have two women's teams in this year's Sweet 16 in Portland. Three-seed NC State is set to take on Stanford tomorrow night at 7:30, while seven-seed Duke will try to extend their run against UConn Saturday at 8 p.m. Look for all the post-game action right here on WRAL News.
It's a tough road for all our teams at this level, right?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right now we got post-rain action, at least on this camera.
Roads were a mess this morning. What'll they be like coming up for our evening commute? Kat Campbell's in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with the conditions right now.
It's going to be a big improvement for the evening commute compared to this morning and what we saw yesterday evening. You can still see there are some puddles at the Longleaf Golf and Family Club, but it's drying out there, nice enough for people to be out on the golf course at this time. Keep in mind, it's going to be pretty windy for a round of golf this afternoon. The roads are drying out in Apex, and a live look at Top of the Hill Restaurant in Chapel Hill. You can see the roads improving, but there is still rain falling in Clinton. You can see it on the lens, and the roads still soaking wet there in Clinton. For your evening commute, there's only a 30% chance of rain left at 5 o'clock. That would be limited to areas east of the triangle. 55 degrees at that time. A 20% chance for rain at 7 o'clock with some of the clouds clearing in our western counties. 52 degrees, but it gets pretty chilly tonight. Keep that in mind. This is a cold front that passes through. The cool down doesn't last long, but you are going to need a jacket as soon as you put away the umbrellas. Here's some showers moving into Wake County right now, passing over RDU. Very light rain. Nothing like what we saw last night, but the steady rain continues for Johnston County. It's making its way out of Fayetteville now, continuing for Rocky Mount. And you still have a little while to go there in Rocky Mount for rain chances. But the winds are going to be ramping up a bit this afternoon. We'll see gusts to about 25 miles per hour on a widespread basis. We could even see some localized gusts to 30 miles per hour. And then comes the chill tonight. Look at our lows, 35 in Roxboro, 37 Durham, 38 in Raleigh, and 39 in Fayetteville. The wind should help prevent frost tonight, so that's the good news. There. We'll be watching it closely for you. But just don't let the warm high temperatures that you're about to see throw you off. You're still going to need a jacket at night. It's the cold front passing that's going to usher in some cooler air behind this. But then we've got high pressure building in from the west. High pressure, our friend, it leads to more sunshine. and warmer temperatures. And that's exactly what we're going to see happen for Easter weekend. The Easter Bunny certainly happy about these numbers. Upper 60s tomorrow, mid to upper 70s on Saturday, and 80 degrees on Sunday. It looks like a fabulous Easter weekend weather-wise. Sunrise is at 7:01 on Sunday if you're going to any services. It'll be around 53 degrees then. Lunchtime, 74. Looks perfect for an Easter egg hunt, and 80 degrees for our afternoon high on Sunday. It's not the only 80-degree day, though, that we have on our seven-day forecast. We've got more 80s coming Monday and Tuesday of next week, and then Tuesday night to Wednesday will be our next best chance for rain. We're going to leave the WREL Weather Alert Day in effect for a little bit longer because we still have steady widespread rain in our eastern counties, but the threat's really starting to go down here in the Triangle. Enjoy tomorrow. We see a climb from 38 degrees all the way into the upper 60s throughout the day.
Looking forward to seeing that sunshine tomorrow and through the holiday weekend. Millions and millions of tax dollars are unclaimed in North Carolina. Today at 4, 5 on Your Side explains how to find out if any of the $29 million belongs to you. Plus, when you need to check before it's too late.
And if you call 911 and no one picks up, WRL investigates a solution used by other states that's hung up here right now. That's tonight at 6. Still ahead this noon, groceries seem to take a big chunk out of our budgets, but experts say it is getting better. After the break, we'll explain why we still feel the financial strain while prices are going down.
And the government is limiting its use of AI. Why federal workers will have to log and get approval for every use of AI coming up. Even though food inflation is slowing down, many Americans report steep prices at the grocery store still souring their appetites.
Ted Lindner takes a closer look at the results of a new study which sheds some interesting light on how Americans are perceiving prices.
Whether you love grocery shopping or not, inflation is still making those trips to the store painful for many consumers.
$200 easily, and it's like not even 2 weeks of groceries.
Food price inflation reached a high of just over 11% in 2022. And while food inflation over the last few months has been slowing to pre-pandemic levels, data from Purdue University's latest Consumer Food Insights report finds many Americans aren't feeling relief.
So while food price inflation over the last year officially is 2.1%, respondents in our survey tell us food price inflation is much higher. They tell us food prices have risen by 6% in the past year.
It's like you wonder where we're going to go.
So what's causing shoppers to perceive prices as being higher than they are?
Official measures of inflation are either month to month or year over year. Consumers might not necessarily think in terms of years, but they might think of prices today relative to some period in the past, maybe before the pandemic.
Adding insult to injury, researchers say it's harder to notice decreasing food prices when the overall cost of living remains steep.
When, for example, your rent rises or your housing payment rises, that leaves less money to spend on other things, including food.
Going forward,
64% tell us that food prices are going to rise in the next year, which is not surprising.
Ted Lindner reporting there. Three presidents unite tonight with one mission: to defeat Donald Trump. We'll have a preview of the star-studded fundraiser for President Biden and how his GOP opponent plans to spend the day.
Plus, living in New York City is already expensive. Now leaders plan to implement a costly program for drivers. We'll explain how new tolls are expected to help reduce congestion on the roads. First, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
A flood watch for much of our viewing area is now over.
Meteorologist Kat Campbell is here with a radar update to show us where that rain has lingered.
And we still have some rain around our eastern counties. Not a lot left in the Triangle. We had a few sprinkles pass through Wake County over the past 30 minutes, but we're drying out here in the Triangle with the bulk of the rain left over toward Rocky Mount and Wilson. Still a very steady rain there up into Halifax County, Roanoke Rapids, and even Lake Gaston. It's all along I-95 at this point where we have this steady rain falling, but we do still still have some steady rain falling in Johnston County as well as Dunn, but we're going to start to dry out in Dunn and in Johnston County over the next hour, and the clearing trend should continue as we head later into the afternoon and evening. So your evening commute should be in much better shape, but we do still have those showers in our eastern counties we're watching. I'll let you know when we'll see some 80-degree sunny days coming up.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, Tampa Bay Rays shortstop Wander Franco has been placed on administrative leave through June 1st. We have just learned this. He is accused of sexual abuse. He has not been formally charged, but this decision was made in joint agreement by Major League Baseball and the MLB Players Association. Franco has been away from the team since mid-August when the allegations first surfaced of an inappropriate relationship with a minor. He was arrested in the Dominican Republic back in January. He was taken into custody and then released days later. Franco used to play for the Durham Bulls. He was promoted to the majors in 2021.
Michelle, thanks. The rainy weather we've experienced the last 2 days is headed down east. The storm system is causing major issues along Highway 12 in the Outer Banks. WRO's Ken Smith is here now with the new information from the state DOT. And Ken, you also talked with someone who lives in the Outer Banks.
Yeah, I did. I talked with Jan Dawson. She's a longtime resident. She's an author. She also owned a hotel on Hatteras Island. She says the conditions in the Outer Banks today look a lot like this picture here from the state DOT. It's cloudy, pouring rain. As for Highway 12, the state DOT says this long north-south route along the Outer Banks remains open and passable from Oregon Inlet to Hatteras. That said, though, there's standing water and sand all along Highway 12. A much different scenario on the north end of Ocracoke. Highway 12 there is closed because of significant overwash, which creates any number of issues for residents and business owners.
It's very frustrating, and especially if you're in a situation where you might require medicine, if you have appointments. It is something that everyone learns to live with, but that doesn't always make it easy. And sometimes it can cause real concern.
Again, Highway 12 is closed on the north end of Ocracoke, but is open from Oregon Inlet down to Hatteras. Crews will be out today clearing that Highway 12 and working to fortify protective dunes. So the drivers are being encouraged to slow down and give those workers room because it's so important to get that road closed, but important to keep those state DOT workers safe as well, Renee.
All right, Ken, thanks for that update.
We turn now to the race for the White House. President Biden's campaign is planning a star-studded fundraiser today. It'll include two of his predecessors and a whole bunch of celebrities. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez is in New York, where tonight's fundraiser will take place at Radio City Music Hall.
This morning, the Biden campaign is preparing to host a star-studded fundraiser with three presidents, Biden, Obama, and Clinton, in a conversation moderated by late-night host Stephen Colbert. The event also set to feature appearances by Lizzo, Queen Latifah, and Ben Platt, among other celebrities, as Democrats set their sights on the general election.
I've never been more optimistic about our future. I know I'm only 40 years old. Times two plus one.
The president's poll numbers are ticking up, but are still shaky. At this time in 2020, Biden was leading Trump by an average of 6 points. Now most polls show a statistical tie or a Trump lead. So the president and vice president are ramping up their travel. Former President Obama is also taking an increasingly active role in the campaign.
Right now, the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party.
All eyes will be toward the sky on April 8th during the total solar eclipse. By now, you've heard the warnings about protecting your eyes, but that's not the only precaution you should take. Make sure you protect your eyes with ISO-approved solar eclipse glasses. And don't forget the sunscreen.
While we're spending time making sure that we protect our eyes during the solar eclipse, which is extremely important, it's important to remember that your skin is also vulnerable to the UV light.
Along with the proper eyewear, consider wearing a broad-brimmed hat and using a sunscreen with SPF 50.
Johnson & Johnson will get another chance to challenge the scientific evidence linking its talc products to ovarian cancer. A New Jersey judge said recent changes in the law and new evidence require a fresh review of the previous science. The judge's decision could potentially disrupt more than 53,000 lawsuits J&J is currently facing over the products. The company has until July 23rd to present its case. Recent high school and college graduates say they lack the confidence and competency of basic life skills. A new survey by Quizlet found 33% of graduates say they feel uncertain about having the necessary skills needed in the real world. 68% of participants believe they would be better prepared for life if they took non-academic courses. Those courses would include automotive maintenance, financial planning, and insurance. Almost 80% of participants say they're overwhelmed by financial planning. Some have even turned to social media for life skills and knowledge.
A family in Missouri is suing St. Louis County after what they call a day of terror.
We think the public needs to be aware of how much SWAT is used, what are the circumstances that justify it.
Coming up, we'll tell you what was behind a botched raid.
Plus, driving into a part of Manhattan just got more expensive. Why leaders say a new toll could ease the gridlock in part of the city. A family in Ferguson, Missouri is suing St. Louis County after a SWAT team raided their home by mistake.
St. Louis County police with a search warrant. Come to the front door.
And this is body cam footage of that raid. It happened last May. Police say hours before the raid, six people carjacked someone and told police Apple AirPods were in the car. Officers used the Find My application and traced the AirPods to that family's home. A mother was inside the home with her infant. Officers ordered her outside while they searched the home.
You can't do every interaction with the police with a SWAT team. That's not fair or reasonable to the public. If we try it, we'll hear the evidence. What's going on with these SWAT teams? Are we going to tolerate this in our community or not?
During the raid, officers also pointed long guns at the woman's husband, who was in his work truck with two of his children. It turns out the AirPods were later found in the streets. The couple was not charged with a crime.
Would you pay a fee to make your commute faster? We all know how rush hour around here can be a pain. Well, traffic is often worse in major metro areas. New York City has a newly authorized plan it considers a traffic game changer. Amy Kiley reports how congestion pricing might translate elsewhere.
What has worked for the rest of the world will work in our city.
But would congestion pricing improve traffic where you live? Officials in New York say for them, the answer is yes. It's now the first major U.S. city to approve such pricing after a transit board vote yesterday.
One of the biggest goals of this whole exercise is to finally attack congestion, but the other side of the equation is to invest more in transit.
New Jersey's governor calls the program a cash grab and is suing to stop it. If it survives, officials say it could start in part of Manhattan in June. Commuters there would pay $15 a day or $3.75 overnight. Some larger vehicles would see higher costs. Others, like fire trucks, would be exempt, and low-income drivers would get half off. Supporters say it's worth it for a better commute, but not everyone is on board.
Another $15 just to get to work, which is just, that's absurd.
Two 2019 studies show congestion pricing could help Seattle, Los Angeles, and similar cities, but none have implemented it.
I don't think it's going to work, really.
I could see why some people are maybe a bit more stretched with their budget, might be concerned.
On a smaller scale, plenty of cities and states have toll lanes. They raise money, and some drivers say they reduce traffic.
But I take the back roads.
We have the 540 toll.
Yeah, you know. We do. But the congestion on I-40, I don't know. Maybe some people might be willing to fork out a little money.
Get to RTP.
To get, to where they need to go quicker. Well, the rain has finally moved on out. Kat Campbell has been tracking all of that. And we have some new totals for folks.
I just updated these. Pretty healthy doses of rain. Some of my planters that I had outside were just covered in rain. I had to pick up the plant and dump it out when I woke up this morning. Siler City, over 2.5 inches of rain. North Raleigh, 2.31 inches. Vass, just over 2 inches. Chapel Hill, about 2.5. Fuquay-Varina, almost 3 inches of rain, and Carr Lake just over 2 inches of rain. We still have rain in our eastern counties. The bulk of the rain is out of the Triangle and finished at this point. Just a few sprinkles left to the south that could be moving through over the next hour. Johnston County, the rain's starting to lighten up for you. And in Wilson, the rain is continuing, but it should be lightening up. Still some pretty steady rain for Nash, Edgecombe, Halifax, and Northampton counties. That's going to be moving out closer to 3 o'clock. So as we look ahead, hour by hour, rain chances still 60% for our eastern counties at 2 o'clock. And then that chance really goes down by 4 or 5 o'clock this evening. In Goldsboro, you can see the roads are wet. The rain's still coming down, though lighter. And the camera is not bouncing back and forth just yet. We have a northeast wind around 10 miles per hour, but the winds are going to be picking up later this afternoon and evening. If you do need to head out for a long dog walk, maybe your dog's been inside a lot over the past 24 hours in the rain, we'll see improvements just around and after dinner time tonight. It should be pretty nice. You may even get to see some sunshine by that time. But beware, it's going to be chilly tonight. By midnight, we're at 47, and you'll wake up to temperatures in the 30s tomorrow morning. The breeze should prevent widespread frost from developing, unless you have a particularly sheltered location, though. For today's setup, we had a dip in the jet stream, a low pressure to the east, and then all this moisture fed into the area from the southwest. We're going to see big changes to that pattern, though. Our jet stream changes start tomorrow. We start to see this arch developing, this ridge of high pressure. That's going to continue to build in over the weekend, and that's one of the factors that really helps warm us up into the 80s. Our normal high this time of year is now 67. We're going to be close to that number tomorrow. Just keep in mind, we go all the way from the 30s in the morning to near 70 during the afternoon. So we change seasons in a day. Dress in layers, needless to say. By Saturday afternoon, we're up to 77, and then 3 days in the 80s are on the horizon. You may need to pick up some ice cream as we get toward the end of the week. Your 7-day forecast shows climbing temperatures over the next few days. As we get into the weekend, our low temperatures will be back in the 50s. And then early next week, a warm start, but we do have growing rain chances Tuesday night, especially into Wednesday. At this point, it looks like the rain would arrive pretty late, but we'll keep a close eye on that forecast. It is the Durham Bulls home opener on Tuesday. Kat, thank you. In a moment of distress, officers help this tiny pup get free from a fence. How the little one is doing after its rescue, coming up.
And here's a look at your winning Powerball numbers. No one matched all of them from last night's drawing, and the jackpot climbs to an impressive $935 million. You can watch Saturday's drawing right here on WRAL before our 11 p.m. news. As we wrap things up, we have a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. The student who authorities say threatened to, quote, empty a clip at his Cumberland County High School will face a judge this afternoon. The incident forced the principal at Grays Creek High School to put that school in a code red lockdown. WRO's Gilbert Bays will be in the courtroom for the hearing, and he'll explain what happened beginning on our news at 4.
Three people are in the hospital after a crash on I-95 in Cumberland County that involved four cars. The crash happened on I-95 South in Wade near the Newton Grove exit before 11:30 last night. This video shows the backup on I-95. The crash started when one vehicle spun around and hit another head on. First responders tell WREL 9 people were in the cars that were involved.
RDU officials say they have found the dog they say ran away while they were trying to load him on a plane. Alaska Airlines says that dog named Moose slipped out of his collar and ran away when they tried to put him on the plane. The airline says it paid for Moose's owner to come back to RDU and be reunited with the dog.
Two-time Grammy Award winner LaToya Luckett will be at North Carolina Central University tonight. She'll be speaking as part of the university's Leadership in Entertainment and Arts program. Luckett was a founding member of the group Destiny's Child. She later went on a solo career as a musical artist and actress. Her talk starts tonight at 7 at the NCCU Student Center Event Hall. It is free and open to the public.
A new Shohei Ohtani mural was unveiled in Little Tokyo, Los Angeles yesterday. A massive painting of the Dodgers star covers a whole side of that Mikiako Hotel. The mural stretches 15 stories high and 60 feet wide. Beneath the mural is a QR code for fans to scan and see the mural come to life. Ohtani's former interpreter is still under investigation for allegedly stealing from the Major League Baseball star to pay for illegal sports bets.
Punxsutawney Phil has two new little shadows following him around. The Groundhog Club announced that Phil's wife, Phyllis recently gave birth to two healthy pups. People in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania can get a look at them through a viewing window at the town's library. The pups have not been given names yet.
All right. Now for the sweetest video of the afternoon. Police don't just help people in dire situations. They also came to the aid of a puppy in distress. Officers in Fresno, California were called to free that puppy's head that was stuck in a wire fence. Officers showed up to help within minutes and worked carefully to pry its head loose. The people who live in the home say the puppy does not belong to them. Officers took the cutie to a shelter for care. I'm sure it'll find a home soon.
Our pet of the day is a short-haired cat looking for her forever home. 5-year-old Nyla is good with dogs, but would be best as your only cat. She can also benefit from some exercise, which can be fun, like chasing a laser pointer around the room. Nyla is spayed. Her adoption fee includes vaccines and a microchip. If you're interested in Nyla, contact SPCAWake.org. NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news